Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good Memorial Weekend Saturday to you all. It's beautiful here in Philadelphia, I'm telling you. Listen, I can't complain about the weather, even with my stuffy nose and my little springtime cold or whatever this is. I can't complain. The weather is beautiful. The sun is shining. I'm breathing, so I'm happy. Thank you guys for being here with another episode of Hannah Footprints. What is your legacy? As promised, those of you who heard part one in April, oh my gosh, I know you're ready. I know you all have been excited. I've been hearing the buzz all week. Get ready. Get ready. Those of you who missed part one, for shame on you. But that's okay, because guess what? When you get off of this show, you know, with all the cookouts and everything else, the food's not going to be ready yet, so you might as well just go ahead and listen to the show that you missed in April, okay? Go to the archives, look for me, look for either Hitting It Out the Park or look for Karen Miller. It'll pop up, and that way you can be able to find it, okay? So you just go ahead. Now, for those of you who read the book, I see you guys on here. You all are excited to finish off part two. I'm glad you guys are here. Those of you who didn't finish the book, and shame on you. I don't know how you couldn't have finished the book. But that's what the weekend is for. Make sure you do. Those of you who didn't purchase the book yet, can I tell you, you are missing something? Go on Amazon, either while you're on the show now or while you're cooking and cleaning and getting ready for everybody to come over. Make sure you get the book before the end of the weekend, because I'm telling you, if you have a moment to sit down, I guarantee you, you will not be able to stop reading it, and you probably can knock it out in one day. It is that good. So as always, you guys could have been anywhere, but you chose to be with me, and I truly, truly appreciate it. I thank you so very much. For those of you, this is your first time tuning into the show. Welcome, welcome to Hannah Footprints. I'm Ricky Jones. You guys can call in at 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. Press the number one to get your questions or your comments in. Those of you who are listening online, thank you, and I appreciate it. Make sure that you guys can shoot me a message on Facebook under Ricky Jones, the Hannah Footprints page. You can send me a message if you have a question, if you have a comment, and we'll get from there, okay? And I'll make sure that I give you guys a shout-out. Now, like I said, this is part two of Hitting It Out the Park, and these two ladies have done an excellent job, not just with this book, but other books that they have created. And this young lady that I have, second half of this dynamic double trouble sexy duo, oh my goodness, what can I say? She's known for her raw, edgy, and graphic writing style. Allison Hobbs burst on the literary scene with her highly successful debut novel, Pandora's Box. I got turned on the Pandora's Box, and we're going to talk about that when she gets on. Those of you who haven't got that, that's another one to get off your list, too. But that premiered in 2003. She's a prolific author. She has in 25 erotic and paranormal, also the contributing writer in Zane's anthologies, Purple Panties, and Z-Rated, Chocolate Flavor 3. And I'm telling you, the list is fantastic. Four of her titles have been nominated for the African American Literary Award Show. Double Dipping was nominated for the 2006 Romantic Times Reviewer's Choice Awards. Numerous novels, including With This Ring, No Boundaries, and Put a Ring on It, have been main selections of the Black Expressions Book Club. Using the pen name Joelle Sterling, did you guys know that? And see, we're going to talk about that, too. I hear some of you all now. Really? Yes, really. She has added the Eternal Dead series to her list of published novels. The series includes, Midnight Cravings, The Dark Hunger, and Forbidden Feast. Miss Hobbs has received a Bachelor of Science degree from Temple University, and she currently resides in Philadelphia, right here. So those of you who are right here, you never know. You may get a Allison Hobbs spot and be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Good morning, Allison. How are you? And welcome.
Good morning, Ricky. I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me. Would you believe I had no idea this was Memorial Day weekend?
You know what? 'Cause it came by. I've never seen time go by so fast because people have to, you know, keep saying to me, oh, it's Memorial weekend, really? Because I kept thinking it was next weekend. I don't know why.
Me too.
I always thought it was at the end of the month.
I did too. It lands like the 30th or something like that. I had no idea until you announced it. But, you know, I'm your typical stereotypical writer in my own world. I don't know what's going on half the time.
But that's okay because guess what? That's what gives you the ability to put out such great novels like you have. And this, you and Karen, I'm telling you, like I told Karen, you guys really put, because I've read both of your work separately, you know, things that you guys have done separately, but this combination here is dangerous. I'm telling you, you guys really put your foot into this one. And congratulations, by the way, on the second reprinting, the second printing of this book. Oh, my gosh. Yay!
Thank you. We're pretty excited about that because the book industry is going through sort of a change that I hope is temporary, but, you know, people aren't reading as much as they used to, or something's changing, but, you know, any type of progress you make in this industry, I mean, I've survived it going through several phases. You know, I've been writing professionally since 2003, and I've seen a lot of my fellow authors fall by the wayside, you know, along the way. So it was always just an honor to me, and I was always just so proud to be able to stay relevant and to stay in it and not to lose my publishing deal. And so many others have, so many great writers, you know, not to say anything bad about their craft. It's just it was the industry changing. And, you know, I don't know if you were reading. I mean, I'm sure you were, but I don't know if you were into African-American fiction around the end of 99, when after it seems like after Terry McMillan came out with Waiting to Exhale, the industry blew up with African-American fiction. There was a time
you
could go into a bookstore and you would just see a sprinkling of black authors. Then, you know, there was this big explosion, and we had this really really good literature for a while. Then the field became inundated with street fiction, and not saying that street fiction isn't good, but it changed the game. So publishers started letting go, started not, you know, giving contracts to their mainstream or contemporary writers, and were opting to sign street fiction authors. And I kind of fell somewhere in between, you know, contemporary and street fiction. I was fortunate when well-known authors, well-paid authors were getting dropped. I was fortunate enough to ride that out and not have anything negative happen to me. But now we're in another kind of change where publishers are just not signing authors anymore, you know. So to ride out all these changes, I'm just happy to be in it, to still be in it. And so this, all that said, this second printing, and there was a time that would be no big deal. I think Pandora's Box went into like 9 printings. So there was a time, I mean, it was a big deal, but it was kind of expected if it was a popular book or you were a popular author. You were kind of expected. But it's different now. One of the changes that happened was with the closings, all the closings of Borders. That gave the industry a huge hit. And it seems as if today Walmart is our borders. You know, if you were a popular author back when Borders was around, you would have a story like Borders. When I would do a book signing at a Borders, they would have 2 and 3 and 4 boxes of my book, whatever my current book was, in the back of their store. And on the shelf, it might be a whole shelf or a half a shelf just devoted to whatever I'm just speaking for myself, my title. But now you go into a Barnes & Noble, if you may see 1 or 2 books of your favorite author.
Wow.
Two, not a whole shelf full, 1 or 2 books, if at all. So for the longest, Barnes & Noble was hiding popular black authors' books, locking them up in the back because they said they were getting stolen. So it's just been a lot of, so that's why we're so happy about this second printing, because we're really up against an industry that's struggling to survive.
And I think it really is amazing. It really is amazing because the work that you all have put in, I mean, it's just, it needs to be told, it needs to be read, it needs to be heard, you know what I mean? And the whole thing of this is what you put your craft into. So now let's backtrack. How did you get into writing in the first place?
You know, Ricky, I would have never dreamed I would end up being a writer, even though I've always been a storyteller, like a verbal storyteller, always making any event in my life telling it in an exciting way. Even as a teenager going on vacation, all my neighbors would be waiting for me to come back because they knew I would have a fantastic, they would sit around practically eating popcorn while I told them every detail of my vacation. So I've always told stories, but never, you know, loved to and never dreamed I'd write. And when someone suggested that I become a writer, I remember being somewhat insulted because my mind and my heart was set on, you know, something totally different. And I thought, you know, how dare you try to switch my path, you know. But so I kind of fell into it. And in 97, I believe, or 96, I don't know, I got a computer, my first. And I started playing around with a memoir, trying to write my life story, not to be published, not thinking it was, you know, not even going in that direction, but for my children to one day know who I was. You know, you don't think of your parent as a teenager or a young girl. You can't, you know, really imagine. Just for them to know my path and what I had gone through. And while I was in the midst of writing it, it just hit so many chords. It should have been cathartic, and I should have I just couldn't write it. In other words, I couldn't. It was painful to relive some of the memories. Just painful, and nothing horrific has ever happened. It's just my personal. You know, everyone's pain is relative to them. So it's not like anyone else would read this and just cry, but for me, it was painful. So I decided I can't write this, not right now. So let me, it's too close, it's too soon, and so let me try to write make up a story, and that's how I wrote Pandora's Box. It was just to distract me and take me away from writing my own story, and I started writing. I kept saying, this is turning into something. It was just a weekend thing that I did, and not even every weekend, Ricky. It would be sometimes months would go by. And today, now that I'm, you know, such a prolific author, and I have other authors say, "Well, how do you finish?" You know, I may not have ever finished Pandora's Box because it was a hobby. It was an escape and just something I did. I wasn't trying to write a book and waking up in the morning before I went to work and jumping on that novel. I would forget about it and then I would return to it. So it happened that I had a cousin who is in the, I know what happened. I got fired. Never been fired in my life. I got fired from a job. And and I had 6 months unemployment. And I decided, well, let me use this 6 months and see if I really am a writer, because I didn't know. Had no clue if I was doing it right. So I had a cousin who's a professional editor with the Scholastic textbook company. So she had nothing to do with fiction, but she was a big reader, and she knew her stuff. So I sent her the 12 chapters that I had. Now, I think about 2 years had gone by, and I had 12 chapters. Now, you know, that's horrible. But like I said, it was a hobby. So I sent her my 12 chapters and holding my breath, waiting to hear what she said, because by this point, with that 6 months, I was determined I'm going to make this 6 months count. At first, I was devastated about being fired. Then I accepted it. Now I wanted to make good use of the 6 months and maybe change my life, perhaps enter into something I had never even dreamed of. And now I was getting really serious about it since I had this time. And she read my 12 chapters. She took a long time, I considered a long time to get back to me. And when she finally did, she said, well, I have kind of bad news for you. And I couldn't imagine what it could be, because I always, you know, had good grades in English and, you know, I could tell a story. So I couldn't imagine what she was going to say. And she said, your story is good, but you don't know the first thing about the craft of writing. And I was like, oh, thank you, pardon. Who do you think you're talking to?
I know what I'm doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing. She said, no, you don't. She was arguing with me and telling me, start using terminology I wasn't familiar with. She was like, the point of view is coming from so many different people. You have so many characters. You can't write a book. You have to pick in each chapter. You have about 4 points of view. And I didn't even know what point of view meant, what she was talking about. And then she said, you're not being consistent. And you said the door was red in chapter one, and then it was black in chapter. And then she said, "Listen, I don't have time to read this mess. I don't have time to read this mess. You have a good story, but I'm not reading another word until you either take a class on creative writing." She said, if you don't want to take a class, join. This is like the internet hadn't blown up yet. It was, you know, it was available. But anyway, she said, either go online and find a writer's group, or maybe go to a writer's group in Philly somewhere. And she said, or get books on the subject. But you have to learn the craft before you even attempt to write. And she said, I was getting a headache with all the mistakes you're making. It was a brutal, brutal criticism. But for my birthday that year, she said she wouldn't read it anymore, and she's my first cousin. I don't have any other editors as good as her to read it. So I had to do what she said. And so I had my significant other at the time buy me, instead of my typical birthday gift, get me type of birthday gift, I wanted as many books as he could get me on the subject of how to write fiction. And he ended up giving me like 7 or 8 books, and I devoured all of them. And I became immediately embarrassed when I realized, oh my God,
what you were doing wrong and what you were missing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then today, if she hadn't told me all that, and it was hard for her to tell. I'm saying it like it was easy for her. We were very close, and it was hard for her to be that brutally honest with me. But I may be just like any of these. May have turned out like, well, I wouldn't have never ever gotten a deal around that time, because you really had to, you know, at that point, you had to be a real writer to get a deal with a major publisher. You couldn't be writing like these 99-cent ebook type writing. But that's what I would have been, because I wasn't following any of the rules of fiction writing. I was doing it my way. And it's a craft, and there are rules to follow, but I wasn't aware of them. So finding out, I was able to rewrite all 12 chapters, and eventually, I don't think I would have ever finished the book except I started sending out query letters, which my cousin also told me about that. I didn't know anything about it. She crafted my query letter and told me I had to send it to agents and publishers and give them the option of the first three chapters. She said, and every now and then someone may ask you for the entire manuscript. But she said, but that's rare. So I wasn't even finished, and I just wanted to see if anyone would take a bite, if there was any interest. And lo and behold, one of the most prestigious agents of African-American writers at the time responded immediately and said she wanted the entire manuscript. And I think I had about 10 chapters to go or maybe more at that point. And she said, I need it in 30 days. So that is why I finished Pandora's Box. And that is why I became an author, because I'm quite sure it would have just been a hobby forever if that particular agent hadn't said, I want the whole, you know, because I was toying with it. I was tweaking. Sometimes I would spend a whole Saturday tweaking one paragraph.
Right.
And just being a perfectionist. And there was no rush. So the fact that I can write so fast today and put out so many books, to think that it took 3 years to write Pandora's Box and now I can write a book in a couple of months. But that particular agent ended up not even, you know, taking the book. But because of her, I finished it. And because I finished it, I got it published.
Well, I'm glad she pushed you. I'm glad your cousin told you. Those of us who are fans of yours, we're definitely glad. Those of you who are just tuning in, welcome. Welcome to Hannah Footprint. I am on with fabulous author Allison Hobbs. If you have any questions or comments, you can dial in 347-826-9723. Press the number 1. You can Facebook me, and Facebook is lighting up with some commentary, Allison. I can't wait to get into that, but we do have a caller all the way from South Carolina. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Oh. Welcome. Thank you. This is your first time calling in, so thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It is, and I'm enjoying the interview. And Ms. Hobbs, she's actually pointed out some things that I've noticed in the literary industry as well, which is really, really good that she's taking notice of it too, because I was like, is it just me? But the one thing I do want to tell you, Ms. Hobbs, is that I'm glad you didn't allow that criticism or that, was it your teacher who told you that?
My cousin, an editor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't allow that to make you stop. I know a lot of people who are criticized or told about their writing in a good way, not in a harmful way, they'll take it as I can't.
Right.
And then
I'm glad you didn't let that happen. No, that's not my personality. I'm just ashamed that I didn't want to listen to her at first. I was being bullheaded and thinking that I knew it all. So I'm glad. That information she gave me was invaluable, and to direct me to learning the craft and let me see for myself how it's supposed to be done was a great lesson for me, and it got me where I am today. Like I said, otherwise, you know, I would be writing it just wildly I wouldn't have gotten a deal. I would have self-published, which I eventually did with Pandora's Box. I did at first self-publish. But if it wasn't good or written well, that self-published book wouldn't have gotten published by my publisher.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's my advice to a lot of aspiring writers is, you know, you can publish yourself and readers will buy it if it's good, but you're not going to get a deal if you don't know the craft, if you're not adhering to the rules of the craft and just, you know, writing it your way, forgetting about grammar rules and just all of that.
Yeah. And may I ask another question? I don't want to take over. but the one thing that I noticed you said that you I'm an author as well, but there are some people who ask me how long it takes to write a novel. I've been writing since 2002. And I noticed that you said that at first it took me a year to write my first novel. However, the more I wrote it, it started taking me less time. Now I can write a novel in about 2 months.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And some people frown on that, and I don't understand why. I feel like I just feel like if that's how I write and that's my speed, then that's fine. It doesn't have to be everybody else's speed, but some people really do feel like you have to have like a year or two in a novel, and I believe that it's fine writing it in 2 months.
I agree. Right. I some of my own fellow author friends that were maybe putting out a book every 2 to 3 years took some type of pride in feeling that they were giving more to their work than I was. And I had to correct them and say, you know, I used to be that way too. Twiddling with it, you know, but I'm self-assured. I know that I know how to write, and I don't have to just tweak everything every day. Sometimes tweaking can just be a way to procrastinate, and procrastinating is how books don't get finished.
Exactly.
And procrastinating is also a little bit like, it's like a fear. Sometimes that's a fear that you're not ready to let it go because you're not certain of it. But I can kick out something in 2 months and be just as certain as something that took a year. My second book, which was called Insatiable, took a year to write. And I was still working a job then. And I couldn't write, I couldn't write this the way I do now. But honestly, I think a book can be just as good if you know what you're doing and you know your story. Your characters are developed. Your plot, everything is developed. There's no reason not to write it as quickly as you can. Zane wrote Addicted in 30 days. Now, I've never written a novel in 30 days, but when she told me that she wrote a novel in 30 days, that let me know it was possible to write a book faster than I had been doing. I didn't want to take a year or two every time I wrote a book. That's too long for me.
But, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I have a lot of stories to tell, and I need to get them out.
I have 19 stories out in 2 years. No way.
19? Wow. You have 19
I've written 19 books. The novels generally take me about a month, or a month and a half, maybe two at the longest, 2 months. And my short stories, some of them come out in 24 hours. And novellas, maybe a week.
Oh, wow. You are prolific. Oh, my.
You got me beat in 24 hours. But wait a minute. But Allison, you're going to have to tune in because I've already, as we've been talking, because I knew she was calling in, and as we've been talking, I'm not going to say her name yet because she's going to be a guest, and we're going to talk about those 19 novels and everything else. But I'm going to put you on hold for a minute because something that you said earlier, Allison, I kind of want to go into. So now you've gotten these books out, and now your work, how did it come about that you ended up writing with Zane? I mean, collaborating. Because like you said, during this whole time, everyone was coming out and, you know, all the names and popular and everything was, you know, it was popular. How did that happen?
Right. I think it was synchronicity. I hadn't read any of her books yet. I heard about her, and I was looking at something in the Philadelphia Tribune, and it was a full page, and it said, "Who is Zane?" Now, by this point, I had acquired an agent, who had marketed or shot my book for Pandora's Box for 10 months. 10 months. Now, it took 3 years to write it, and she shopped it for 10 months, and each time she got a rejection letter, she would send me an email with what they said, and each person was, oh, Hobbs is a great writer, Hobbs has blah, blah, blah. However, this material is too raw and gritty. Now, this is before street fiction exploded, and my heart would break. I'm talking about severe pain. I would take to bed every time she sent me one of those emails because I was so positive that that was a good book. I mean, you could not tell me. I know a lot of authors feel that way about their materials, their baby, but I honestly couldn't believe each time a major publisher said no. And at the end of 10 months, this agent said, well, I've shopped it to everywhere where I have a contact, but they know your name now, and they know your style. Can you tone it down? If you just tone it down, I can get you a deal. Let's start working on something. She started trying to hype me up and get me to start working on something new. At the time, I thought it took 3 years or at least two to write a book, and I was so depressed. She was trying to get me to really want to write another book. She said, I promise you I can get you a three-book deal if you just write, give me something else. And I was like, let me sleep on it. And I woke up thinking, I'm not starting nothing new. I got a good book right here. And I had this dream where I was given information. You don't have to wait for anyone else. You can do it yourself. And self-publishing was the last thing on my mind. I didn't know anything about it. But I decided to tell her I wanted to get out of my contract. I was just going to do it myself. That's how confident I was in Pandora's Box. So I self-published. I had all these copies, nothing to do with them, didn't know what to do with them. Ended up trying to get them in different stores around Philly. If you're from Philly, I know you remember Ligorius Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
In the Cedar Brook Mall. The Shelton Ham, one of those malls.
Shelton Ham Mall, that's right.
Right. And different bookstores around Philly, even as far as Baltimore, because that cousin, the editor, she lives in Baltimore. So Baltimore black-owned bookstores in the Philly area. And I started doing what do you call it, commission? I forget. Anyway, where I would get 60% of the sale and they would get 40. And it was nice little chump change every weekend, picking up the money and seeing people around Philly reading the first version of Pandora's Box. But finally, I wanted to reach more people. And I saw online that there was a book fair in Baltimore called the Baltimore Book Festival. And I could rent a table for $100 and all by myself, because all the relatives that were supposed to help me go do this, everyone backed out. And so me by myself, carrying table, carrying boxes of books, setting up. It was rough, but, you know, I was so happy to be there that I did it with a smile. And I think your attitude has so much to do with everything, because the me today would be cussing about lugging that stuff and grumbling. But I remember just being, I'm serious, I would be like, why me? But I was happy. I was really, really happy that day. And it was a Friday, and hardly anyone was at that festival. I wasn't selling anything, and I was still smiling, just happy, just like this inner knowing, just this innocence of knowing that, of feeling that I've arrived. I'm at this book fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I don't even know how to make my table pretty, other tables. By the time, I never went to the bathroom because I had no one to watch my table. By the time it got dark, and I had been there since afternoon, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. So I was just willing to leave my little stand and just find the bathroom. And as I'm walking and smiling like a lunatic, like, I'm here, I've arrived, I'm an author. I couldn't even say I'm an author. I couldn't even say those words because I didn't believe that I was an author. I saw this lady, and I said, are you looking for the bathroom, too? And she said, yeah, I'll turn off. And I don't know, I just took a guess. I said, well, someone told me there's one with running water because they had these porta-potty things. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's one with running water. I just wanted to share goodwill to people because I was just happy to be there. And I had not sold one book. But my attitude was positive just because. I didn't plan it. I didn't say, I'm going to be so happy today. I'm going to be nice to people. I just felt that way. So we're walking, and I said, so are you an author, even though I don't believe I'm one? And she said, no, I'm not, but my sister is. And I said, oh, who's your sister? Now, let me backtrack. When I saw that thing in the Tribune, it said, who is Zane? This mystery woman has sold millions of books, and she writes erotica. The word erotica hadn't entered my mind for the genre I was in. I didn't know. I just consider myself contemporary, but all these publishers that kept turning me down kept saying it was too raw, this and that. So when this article said she writes raw, gritty, blah, 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 I'm like, well, wait a minute, that's what I write. So how come I can't get one person to like my stuff? Why is everybody saying it's too much? So I went and bought Addicted after that to see what her style was like, because I hadn't read any of her work, and I was blown away. Okay, so I'm walking to the bathroom with this lady Friday night at the Baltimore Book Festival. I said, are you an author? She said, no, but my sister is. And I said, who's your sister? She said, oh, my sister's name is Zane. I don't know that Zane is a publisher. I just know that she's this woman, the paper said she's a phenomenon. I said, yes, sister. So I was just excited, thinking, oh, she can give me some pointers, you know, or tell me what I'm doing wrong, how to get in the door or whatever. And I said, you think I can meet your sister? And she said, sure, come to our tent tomorrow. Now, just the word tent intimidated me because I had this $100 table, like nothing around me, just a table. And tent looked like big time people, and because I remember passing this one tent that said, speaking tomorrow at noon will be, I'm going to just throw out some rants, just random names, Carl Weber, blah, 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 Mary Morrison. And I remember saying, I'm going to be in that tent next year. I remember saying that with all my heart. And so she said, come to our tent. I'm like, tent? I'm going to feel like a groupie or a beggar or something. I don't think I can go to this tent. So I was like, no, that's okay. Just tell her I'm a fan and I love her book and blah, blah, blah. She said, no, you really should come and meet her. My sister's really nice. And I was like, all right. And I just said, all right, but I knew I wasn't going to go. Just because I don't like to be intrusive, you know, like that.
Right.
So the next day,
that's
Saturday.
That's not what it was, Allison. Allison, that's not what it was. You were scared. That's all.
I didn't want to, like, what did I want? Like, hi. I didn't want to be in that position. So I don't know what it was.
It was scared.
It was intimidation. It was whatever, a lot of things, but I knew I wasn't going. I knew that with all my heart. So the next day, Saturday, was totally different. Everybody was buying my book. I was just selling them fast, just so fast. And so finally this lady came up. No, the woman I met the night before, who is one of my dearest friends now, Zane, Sister Charmaine, came to my table and said, you said you would give me a free book. I came to get my book. I said, oh, yeah, here, sure. She said, well, my sister's waiting to meet you. And I was like, really? Like, okay, well, I'm busy right now, but I'll be there. I'm like, oh, my God. So I just keep selling. I'm selling like crazy. So I forgot about it. Because, again, I wasn't going. Now, like you said, I guess I was just scared. I was just totally intimidated by her. And also, I didn't want to appear needy. Because what I wanted from her was tips and pointers on how to get to where she was at. And how do you say that to someone? Like, tell me what's the secret. So I'm just selling, and not even, you know, thinking about that anymore. So this woman comes up to one of the customers. She had a $20 bill in her hand. My book was $15. and she started asking me all these questions. Like, I've heard a little bit of buzz about Pandora's Box, and there was some buzz. I'd gotten a lot of online book clubs, too. There was lots of book clubs in those days that were on had an online presence, and there was a lot of reviews out about it. I had really worked hard, as a lot of self-published authors do. And she said, I've heard some buzz about this. Tell me, what is your goal? What are your goals? Now, for ordinary book buyer to be asking you that, I said, oh, well, my goals are this, that, and the other, and I'm going to do this. She said, well, how long are you going to stay self-published? I said, well, I like being self-published, and blah, 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 and I'm going to make a fortune, and then when I do get signed, it's going to, I was just bragging. I was bragging. You can tell me I wasn't Carrie McMillan. She said, well, what about, she said, well, what about, she started throwing out things, questions to me about, suppose this happened. She was asking me negative things, like suppose right. you run out of books, or suppose you. And after a while, I kept answering all her questions with all this optimism. But after a while, I couldn't answer her questions anymore because I didn't have the knowledge. You know, I had hardly any knowledge. I was just faking it and bluffing. But all I really had was passion, enthusiasm, and talent. But when it got down to all those business questions, I finally just ran out of answers. And I just said, what's your name? So I could just go ahead and sign her book and get that $20 bill out of her hand. So because she had been holding it the whole time. And the book was open for me to sign to her, but she had started asking all those questions. So I said, what's your name? And she said, Zane. And girl, I nearly passed out. Like, oh, my God. And it was like something between us just clicked. Like, she knew that I had no idea who I was talking to. I had, you know, faked it, and just, but I had also impressed her with my enthusiasm. And she said, I want to read the book, and if I like it, I just want you to know I just signed a big publishing deal with Simon Schuster, and I for myself and also for my publishing company. And I can have your book distributed all over America. You'll be in bookstores all over the country and blah, 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 you know, if I like it. And she bought the book. She liked it. And one thing I have always loved about Zane is that she does not waste time. She does not waste your time. If she likes something, you'll hear from her right away. This has been my relationship with her all these years. It's been well over 12 years now. You never have to wonder. You never have to wait around. It's immediate. At least my experience with her, everything is immediate. So it's like that was the end of September. I was signed by like a month later, had my contract signed. Soon after that, that book had a new cover. It was published, it was distributed by Simon Schuster all over America. Like she said, my life changed. And by 2004, that book came out in 2003. By December, came out October 2003. Then the next one came out October 2004. By December 2004, I quit my job. Now, I jumped the gun. I had like a one really rough year. But after that, I have never worked again. I have been a full-time writer like my whole career. And that is all because of Zane, you know, and the way she allows me to put out so many books.
Right. And the characters that you put out. And and the characters that you put out. Because not even just in the books that you have, because all of your characters are amazing in the books that you have put out. But going into this collab that you have with Karen, and now the part, oh, my God. One of the things that I love about a good book is that it gets you to thinking, it gets you to talking to the book, and you read it, and you're like, you feel it. Especially, you know, the people want to term it the erotica or whatever, the sexy, trashy, slutty, sultry type of novel, whatever name they want to put to it, whatever. But what I love about it, just really, I mean, because you know they want to put a name to it because they got to put a name to it, but it is what it is.
Slutty.
Yeah, you know, the whole, but
the whole thing that rubbed people wrong in the beginning.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny because even though it rubs them the wrong way, they can't deny that when they're reading it, their body tingles. They can hear themselves breathing with the character. And they can feel that touch. And, and sexy, let me tell you. Now, I'm Team Cheryl. I'm Team Cheryl all the way.
Yeah, everyone,
and again, if you guys haven't gotten the book, if you guys haven't gotten the book, you need to get the book so that you can find out whether or not you're Team Sexy or if you're Team Cheryl. But I have to say, Miss Sexy, she is off the hook. And in my mind, I could see this chick with this bad behind shape, you know, like a 38, 24, 46 type. I mean, big, just boom, just like, wow, like a combination of Holly Berry and Alicia Keys, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, and you're like, girl. And then, but also with not just the character being so whatever, but it also gets the reader to feel like, you know, I could be sexy. I really could. Even with my size 16, I could be sexy. I could be Team Cheryl. You know, and that's what I love about what the two of you have brought to the book. But, and Karen mentioned earlier.
What I liked about writing with Karen was she outlines. I don't outline books. That's not my process. But that's her process.
Right.
She does, you know, elaborate outlines. So it was so easy. It was like painting by numbers. All I had to do was just go in there. Like with the books I write by myself, I have no idea where I'm going and how it's going to turn out. And I love that about my process also, that, you know, it's when my twists come up in the book, the reader should know that it was a twist for me too. I didn't see it coming. I just let the characters dictate.
Listen, I want to tell it, but O.M. flipping G. When Cheryl figured out who Sexy really was, I didn't
see
that coming.
But that was a twist I knew about because Karen outlines. But we were hoping that it had the impact on the readers of, oh, my God. So hearing that, you know, it had that effect on you, good. That's what we wanted. We don't want you to suspect ever.
I was talking to the book the whole time. back and forth.
Well, Cheryl was Karen's character. Karen wrote all of Cheryl. Karen came up with the concept of the book. Sexy was my character. I wrote all the sex scenes. All the sex scenes for everybody. Sexy Cheryl.
Thank you.
Whatever sex you read in the book, I wrote it.
That's right. Thank you for my my nice warm nights of going to sleep. I appreciate it. I thank you so much.
But when she told me about the story, her idea for a story, and I said, oh yeah, that sounds fantastic. Let's do it. And it put her in an erotica genre that she had never been in, and it put me in, got me into like a contemporary genre that I had never been known for. I've always been known for erotica. She's been known for contemporary. So we combined our two genres, and I just think it worked out beautifully. That we just it was just a beautiful collaboration, and I'm really pleased. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sound like I was cut off.
I'm glad you collaborated.
And you know, when Karen was sending me her chapter, the way we did it, when she was sending me her, she would write a Cheryl chapter, and then I would write a sexy chapter. But I couldn't write without her, continue hers without me. And every time I received her chapters, when I would find myself laughing out loud, like, do you remember that scene when Cheryl went off the deep end. I'm not going to go into too much detail.
Yeah.
I mean, when Karen would send me her chapters, I would be falling out laughing, like literally laughing out loud at the stuff. So I was enjoying this. I was like, well, if I'm enjoying it, and she's enjoying my chapters I send to her, which they're not so much funny as you are, my chapters are mouth drop open, jaw dropping because of what antics Sexy has pulled, or you're getting a glimpse of her background, how she was always, you know, so devious. She was always devious and a real. So we both were enjoying each other's work, and that was beautiful to begin with. I never received her chapters like, oh my God, this is boring, or oh no.
Right.
I was always excited by it, and vice versa. So it was great. It was a great collaboration, and we can't wait to start working on part two.
Well, yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait. Uh-huh. And when you guys come out with part two, I want both of you on to talk
okay.
about part two.
Oh, sure.
So we're going to make that happen. Uh-huh. But the same question I asked Karen, I'm going to ask you. How much
okay.
of your characters are you?
I'm known for writing bad girls, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all my books has a woman, a character you love to hate. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
part of my identity. And I would say years ago I met, you know, the author, well, you've heard of him, you don't know personally, the author Quan. Okay, I had met Quan at BEA and years ago, Book Expo America, and he was like,
right.
"Oh, my wife is a fan of your work." And so maybe 2 years after that, I met him and his wife together at another book event in Virginia, and she said, "I've been waiting to meet you because I know I told Quan. He told me he met you and you were so sweet and you were so nice and blah, blah, blah. That lady was, she said, and I told him, that's a main lady. You didn't have to tell me she's nice. That's a main lady. Those characters. And she was laying me out saying, you can trick my husband, but you can't trick me. I know you mean because you couldn't write those characters. If you were, and I was dying laughing, because those mean girls, you know, are an aspect of me that, you know, I've reined in, but, you know, maybe once upon a time, I know them very well. I know how they act. So I would say,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's easier for me to write bad girls than it is a nice, loving sweet character.
Sweetheart like yourself? A sweetheart like yourself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
mm-hmm.
difficult to, I guess they bore me, you know. The closest I came to a sweet character was this character named Anya that was in the Double Dipping series in a book called Bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters loved her because I let her at least have some balls about her and some strength. But anyway, I really just love writing the bad girls. There was no doubt in my mind when Karen presented the storyline to me that I definitely was going to write sexy. There's no doubt. And they're always like kind of sexual deviant, these characters of mine.
AKA otherwise known as freaky. Freaky.
Right.
Freaky.
Exactly. I was standing in a nice way. Yes,
listen,
exactly.
I pegged this show, I rated this show perfectly so that we could be able to say, we can say it nicely, and then we can say it kind of not, you know, kind of, sort of not nicely, but people get it. But I'm humbled and really honored that you have been, that you spent the time. It's almost an hour. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so happy that you've been on with me, and I truly appreciate it. I really appreciate the work that you've done on your own and with Karen. I cannot wait for part two because there's no way in the world that you guys cannot come up with a part two. Not the way you left it.
We're definitely doing part two. It's just right now we both have to knock out some of our other obligations before we get on it. I have a few deadlines, you know, and so does she. But we're going to do part two.
Well, definitely, and when you do, like I said, I want both of you guys on. But speaking of the other things, so what should we be looking for coming down the pike from Miss Allison Hobbs?
Okay, oh my goodness. In October, The Taming of Madam M will be out, and that's Madam M is a character from my novel Scandalicious. And so I love to pick minor characters and give them their own platform. Sometimes minor characters have a bigger voice than I thought they originally had. So her name was Madame Midnight in Scandalicious, and she was into a secret sex society where these secret parties went on. She's into S&M, and she's a dominatrix, a wealthy dominatrix.
That's one I haven't read, but now that you have said that, I will make sure that I will download that tonight on my Kindle.
Scandalicious is one of it's a favorite. You'll really enjoy it, and it's not all about that. She's like I said, she's a minor character in Scandalicious, but her lifestyle, that's not like a weekend fun thing for her. That's her life. She is a dominatrix. Her husband is her butler. so she lives this life, and but she's a minor character, like I said, in Scandalicious. But she has her own book, her and her butler husband, and pretty much their household, where they live, their home, is a training academy for submissive people from around the globe.
Wow!
But remember, the title card. The Taming of, I went all the way BDSM in this one. It's called The Taming of Madame M. So someone's going to tame her butt now. So that's the next release in October.
Okay. So when I call you up after I have thoroughly fallen on the floor reading that one, you'll come on with it and we'll talk about The Taming of Miss Madam. I cannot wait.
So now, if people want to. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think all people have fantasies. People have, fantasies that supposedly just stay in your mind. And my books allow you to revisit those fantasies or maybe give you new ones that maybe you weren't aware that this weird, freaky thing is a turn on. And it's quite harmless. It's just, and if you're married or you're in a relationship, it just spices things up even more. So that's why I write the way I do. Things that are in my mind doesn't necessarily mean I did all of these things that I write about. No more than the person reading them will do what they're reading about. They're just enjoying the fantasy of it.
Right. So now how can people, if they've never read anything today, how can they go about getting your works? How can they reach out to you? How can they reach you?
Everything's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online or all the online stores. You can go to my website, AllisonHobbs.com, and see, all the covers of all my books. And some of them have preview chapters. All of them have a synopsis. And you can find me on Facebook, /Allison Hobbs, Twitter, /Allison Hobbs. And also you can go to the Simon & Schuster website and see, all my novels. But, they're pretty much on my website. You'll see every one of them.
Oh, we just had a caller pop in.
Okay. You got 3 minutes, I think.
That's okay.
Hi.
Good morning, caller. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I know
Wonderful.
That voice.
This is the co-author, Karen E. Kenyatta Miller. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Hi, Karen.
Yeah.
Hi, Karen.
What's
the
side?
Hi. I hear you holding it down. Ricky, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why I wanted to collaborate with Allison so much is because I love all her books. Oh, my God.
Oh.
I'm the biggest Allison Hobbs fan. From way, way, way back. I'm talking about some self-published days, from Pandora's Box, girl.
Oh, that's so sweet, Karen. Thank you. And the feeling is mutual.
Well, thank you. But I love her books. So I was so happy to collaborate with her on hitting it out the park.
Wasn't it fun,
Karen?
Well,
I'm glad I'm glad you did it. And I'm glad. Now, listen, this is absolutely fantastic because I have the both of you, and we're getting ready to go and finish this show. But I had said to Allison earlier, when you guys come out with part two, I wanted both of you guys to make sure that you come on. But as we're getting ready to go, the two of you, let folks know whatever it is that you want them to know about writing, and forget the writing. What do you want them to do about the book? I'm hitting it out the park. Just tell them.
I'll turn that over to Karen because I said a lot. Go ahead, Karen. You got it.
Buy the book. Buy the book and let us know if you're a teen section.
I couldn't have said it better.
Teen Cheryl.
All right, you guys.
This is a great book. It's full of drama and excitement and so sexy. Steamy,
yes,
scintillating. It's a lot of fun to read.
Yes, it was. And I think I might reread it again. But, ladies,
okay.
Oh,
Allison,
Ricky, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, babe.
Okay. Listen, if anyone wants autographed copies of the book, those are also available. They can just hit Allison or me up on Facebook to get autographed copies, if that's what they prefer. So I just wanted to let everyone know that.
How about that? I forgot about that.
That's okay, because I would like to have my autographed copy now that I've had, because I wanted to wait. Now that I've had both of you on, I'm putting my hand up. I wish you could see it. I'd like my autographed copy. Thank you very much. But,
okay.
Ladies, I thank you for such a fantastic work. Allison, thank you for being on with me. Karen, thank you for calling
in. You're
welcome.
Karen,
those of you
nice
who have listened
surprise.
To those of you who have listened to the show, thank you for calling in. If it's not like breathing, don't do it. You can hit me up, Google Plus, Facebook. I always have to do the list. Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday and next Saturday. Have a good one, guys. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. This was fun. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.